The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me this week. I don't think we've shouted out Steve Kamer lately, so a big thanks to Steve. He is the voice you hear at the beginning and end of this show each and every week. Coming up, Brandon Contis is going to join me. We will talk about sports television ratings and some reasons for optimism as we head into 2021. And then Seth Everett will join me at the back end of the show. We will talk about sports media consumption and how the younger generation may completely change what the popular sports in America are. Boy, that sounds like the name of a college thesis paper, doesn't it? We'll get to all that in just a moment. But first, so what have we thought so far of Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy? The guy is getting pretty good reviews, and I don't think anybody wants to admit that we are all judging Aaron Rodgers based on a scale of we thought he would be terrible at this, because I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is bad. Aaron Rodgers is fine, but the ceiling has been fine. No taking it to the next level, to the point that I've been honestly shocked that there are people across the sports media landscape, really across television in general, having the conversation, what are the Packers going to do if Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to host Jeopardy full-time? I'm not sure Jeopardy wants Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy full-time. The pushback I got when I put that idea out there when I was doing a column about this last week was that Jeopardy is not like your typical game show. When you think about former athletes that became game show hosts, Michael Strahan, who hosts the revival of the, I don't know what sort of dollar amount pyramid it is right now, but that's who springs to mind, right? Because Strahan oozes personality. There is a reason that guy is on Good Morning America and does the daytime talk show thing. Aaron Rodgers is not that guy, but Jeopardy and Alex Trebek even wasn't that guy either. Jeopardy is not that environment. So could Aaron Rodgers be the right fit? I don't know. To me, the bigger story, the more interesting story to come out of Aaron Rodgers' time on Jeopardy is what he has done, what he has turned his 2 weeks on the show into, and that is a great fundraising event for his charity that benefits local businesses in Northern California. We put a story up on the site on Thursday saying that he is approaching around $120,000 raised because the producers of Jeopardy are matching the dollar amounts won by every single contestant on each show, and all of that money is going to a sort of localized version of the Barstool Fund. I think Aaron Rodgers is still a super competitive guy. You might have seen last week, Colin Cowherd sort of said that these experiments like Jeopardy and this idea that he wants to do other things with his life sort of feed into this narrative about whether or not Aaron Rodgers prioritizes winning or he prioritizes fame. I think he's gotten what he wants out of Jeopardy. I think the dude is still competitive, still is driven to win one more championship to solidify his legacy, that he is not going anywhere anytime soon. This has been a fun diversion, but if we are honest, we do not even have to begin to entertain the idea of what if Aaron Rodgers leaves the NFL for Jeopardy, because good God, there is no way Jeopardy is being offered to Aaron Rodgers based on what we have seen so far. Hard to believe, hard to say, honestly, but Brandon Contis joins me for what will be the last time on the Media Noise Podcast. Brandon, congratulations, moving on to Mediaite to be their chief sports media reporter. I couldn't be more proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, very, very excited for the opportunity. Obviously, it's a little bit bittersweet. Certainly very sweet to be getting the new opportunity, but there's a little bit of bitterness just having to leave BSM. I've thoroughly enjoyed my 3.5 years, and I'm definitely going to miss being part of that team.
Yeah, well, certainly I enjoyed working with you and getting to know you, so I'm very happy for your success, but we'll miss our email every morning that starts my day. So let's talk about something that you put up this week, and it was about the ratings for the Masters, and they are down. They are the lowest they have been, at least for a spring tournament, since the early 90s. I think the obvious answer is, without Tiger Woods, golf has a real popularity problem.
Yeah, Tiger Woods is certainly a huge factor. But I think it does kind of fit into just the general trend that we're seeing of sports ratings declining on television. And you know, I think it's interesting, like, how many people have a desperate need, people who aren't even really sports fans have a desperate need to explain why sports ratings have declined and, and give their thoughts on it and place blame on different things. But there's certainly multiple aspects that impact why sports ratings have declined. But I just, like, I look at my own life and I look at the people that I have around me and kind of use that as a sample size. And I think the pandemic has impacted the way that we not only consume television, but consume sports. And I think part of it is because we lived without sports for a bit. Like, same thing with restaurants. Like, restaurants were taken away from us, mm-hmm. and we had to fill the void of not being able to go out to eat. I think restaurants right now, the seating capacity is like 75% on Long Island. Restaurants are not doing 75% of the business that they did a couple of years ago. That industry is down because of the pandemic. We filled the void, and it's going to take a bit before people go back and start getting going out to restaurants and being in, like, being part of their routine. And same thing with watching sports. When sports was taken away from the casual fan, they had to fill that void. And there are certainly people that had already watched stuff on Netflix before, but there are a lot of people that maybe the only thing they ever did was binge Office on Netflix. And now they're starting to recognize how much good content streaming services are putting out on a daily basis. So instead of getting home at night and putting on TNT, putting on ESPN, watching golf, watching basketball, watching baseball, there are other things that in the last year they learned that can give them like a sense of joy and entertainment that they weren't getting previously with sports.
You know, I think there are so many metrics you can look at, too, that show that people, when the weather is nice, I mean, where I am in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's 70 degrees today, right? So I went out and rode my bike. Like, by any sort of metric, admissions to state parks, bike stores being sold out, running stores being lower in terms of stock than they are used to being, people are valuing getting out, whatever that means, especially at the height of the pandemic. And that, I think, to me, explains why the NBA finals right in the middle, or excuse me, the end of summer were so down, why the Stanley Cup finals suffered the same fate, and why, as we get back into this time of year with spring, why the Masters would be down as well. You know, there was an interesting piece that Russ Heltman put up that I thought flowed nicely into your thoughts about the Masters, where Michael Mulvihill of Fox was interviewed, and he said he is optimistic about sports viewership bouncing back a bit in 2021, but the industry as a whole needs to start valuing share more than it values ratings, because you are right, people's habits have changed, and now, you know, maybe the number of millions of people watching aren't going to tell the real positive side of the story the way it would, say, you know, 16% of all televisions in market X were watching our game.
Right.
That certainly paints a rosier picture and probably a more realistic picture of what positivity is going forward.
Yeah, it's more accurate, because when TV viewership is down as a whole, you're not going to expect that just because there's a big sporting event. Like, if people are watching less television, they're going to be watching less sporting events. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of like common sense that it works that way. So yeah, absolutely. Measuring it by the share makes a lot more sense going forward, and I think it depicts a more accurate picture of who is actually watching and how those sporting events are measuring up to what else is being put on television.
Seth Everett joining me now. And Seth, I want to talk to you about two columns, both last week's column about baseball and your most recent column about lacrosse and Formula E and just the, I guess, the short attention span theater of sports right now. You know, I wrote a little bit of a spinoff to your initial baseball column, just sort of asking what fans expected from us when we go in on leagues the way you kind of did on Major League Baseball. You come from a long history with the sport. Certainly nothing you said, I think, was anything new to people that have been paying attention to what has been going wrong. You then pivot to this week's column. And I wonder if at some point we are going to talk about football the way we're currently talking about baseball. Maybe we'll talk about, if not all of a basketball game, certainly the end of a basketball game, the way we talk about baseball. Because while things like Formula E are not super popular right now, they were built with modern media consumption in mind.
They totally were. Formula E is about to enter its seventh season. And the way they construct their races, it's 45 minutes plus a lap. The coolest thing about Formula E, and understand that I'm not a racing person. Mm-hmm. I don't watch NASCAR. I'm not a Formula One fan. I literally was impressed by this idea that these car companies were investing in these teams that were designing technology to win a Fakakta race. That's what they're doing. They're these scientists. They brought in these environmental scientists mm-hmm. to learn how to maximize your car's output using the least amount of power. As you're watching these guys go around the turns, and by the way, it's all street racing, so it's really cool. It's not in a track. You know how you see your percentage yeah. of how much your phone has battery?
Yeah.
You'll see the percentages. And they'll be dissipating as the race is going, and you'll see how much time's left. And you'll be like, 3 minutes, he's only at 4%. And he has to decide, do I gun it to win? And they have IFBs into all the helmets, so they can spy on all of the teams. And they'll be like, what do we do here? What do we do here? And someone has to make a decision. And sometimes they backfire. But the whole process is about an hour.
Yeah.
And the cars all sound like Knight Rider. Any fan that is a cord cutter, any person that's listening to this podcast that's a cord cutter, find these races. They're on CBS. Don't worry if they're not live.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're in other parts of the world. They're on in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of exactly what I'm getting at about it being built for modern media consumption. I would venture a guess that the majority of the way the NBA is consumed by people under the age, forget 30, maybe even by people under the age of 40, clips from games that happened last night on Twitter, or clips from games that happened last night now on TikTok or Top Shot or whatever platform it is you are choosing. I think that, or I guess I wonder, as the audience for television shrinks, are these leagues, are the big four leagues in the United States, are they ready for it? Are they ready for it at all? Because something like a Formula E that can be done in less than an hour, that has all of these bells and whistles and attaches itself to something that has another marketing element, which is cause marketing, right? Like this idea of we can use what happens here to save the world. There's no built-in way to do that for the four major sports.
Right. And I think the big key will be to see how these leagues react to streaming
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the NHL was very excited on announcing their ESPN deal,
right,
saying that 1,000 out of market games will be available on ESPN Plus for no extra cost. OK, take that logic. But if I live in Detroit, the Red Wings are not a part of that.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing to do that. And I wrote a column about that a month ago. So this argument is, as soon as teams start to address that our bottom line has to be impacted by our television contracts, which include streaming television contracts,
mm-hmm.
that's when I think they're starting to pay attention. What these leagues have done, and I think it's the NBA has done a remarkable job of showing how highlights on Snapchat and Instagram are just as well to reach an audience. The NBA does that. But then the NBA will stick their chest out and say, we're not concerned that overall ratings are down
yeah.
because popularity is high. What I like about sports that are shorter, and the Premier League is a perfect example of this, the Premier League knows that if you commit for 2 hours, 90 minutes plus a little extra time and a little bit of halftime.
I believe they call it stoppage.
Give me 2 hours and I won't ask you for a second more.
Right.
Whereas in baseball, if you watch the first three innings and then you go drive 3 hours, you'll get home before the ninth inning.
And that is where we will put a pin in it for today. Big thank you to Seth Everett. And of course, a big thank you and a heartfelt congratulations to Brandon Contis. I know I said this earlier, I could not be more proud of that guy. Here's a kid that started writing for JB for free just because he wanted to be around the sports media industry. And now, after 4 years of just doing anything and everything we asked of him, he has turned it into a for real career that will pay the bills. And I couldn't be more proud of him. I really couldn't. But at the same time, I could not be sadder to see somebody go. Because for a long time, the brain trust of this site was JB, me, and Brandon was always the guy we went to for tiebreakers, new ideas, things like that. So I certainly am going to miss having that guy around. But could not be happier for him. Please follow him on Twitter at Brandon Contis. Please follow him and his writing when he starts at Mediaite. I believe that begins next month. I don't think there is a more appropriate way to end this show than just to tip the hat to a guy. I've never seen anybody put in more time and effort just to get to a little bit better of a place in the industry they really want to be in. So, Brandon, more power to you, buddy. Go get them. We'll talk to you next week.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.